This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Open for Business. This is Enterprise, of course, and my name is Rich Bradbury. It is Friday, the 17th of June, 2022, 10:05 here in the studio, coming up to 10:06. Now, the world's most spoken language in the world is English, and I know Frida went on a volunteer English teaching course in Spain, and most of the students in the class were Spaniards, whose company had been taken over by a Dutch company. And their main language to be used with the takeover is English. So whether in academia or entertainment, there's no doubt of its importance if Malaysia are to compete globally. I'm here in the studio with Irkai Song and Vicky Tan from Guru Lab, who recently closed a $1 million seed funding to develop an English education platform. Welcome to the show, ladies. Kai Song, you spent a few years working in McKinsey in London as a management consultant. And Tucker, you took more than a 50% pay cut and returned to Malaysia to build an education startup. Some people might ask why.
Yeah, a very common question that I've been getting quite a lot.
Yeah.
So I guess despite working in London, it has always been in my heart to return to Malaysia someday to contribute to the country that I've been born and bred in. Mm. And the other thing that I've always held true is that I wanted to be in the education industry. I've previously founded two non-profit societies, and I've seen firsthand the impact that these initiatives have been on the children that we have helped, and that really impacted their life trajectories. And I wanted to do more in a more sustainable way. Mm-hmm. And I guess when the pandemic started, there was an increase in adoption of education tech solutions out there. And I thought that the time was right, and meeting the right people with the right skill sets to complement mine, having being an engineer previously with a machine learning degree from Cambridge, and finding someone who had a lot of experience in education, such as Vicky, I thought, oh, this is the perfect time for me to build something that hopefully will be long-lasting and impactful to the society.
Mm. So tell me about you then, Vicky. What's your story?
So I started teaching around 10 years ago, and it was a complete accident. So my mom's friends asked me to teach the kids. And then I went to law school. I went to Durham. But I think at that time, I knew like very clearly that my calling would be in education. But I didn't want to just be a teacher because I want to have a greater impact than to just teach a room of like 40 students. Mm. So then I went to Oxford University to study a master's in education. But because I was sponsored by a company, I had to return to Sarawak to work in that company for 3 years. But during that time, because I wanted to hone my teaching approaches, practices, I set up an English learning center with a group of friends. Coincidentally, most of them are lawyers. and it's called Veritas Academy. And the way we taught English was quite different. So we don't want English to just be a language, a paper that you pass in an exam.
Yeah.
English is actually a key to a lot of opportunities. And you can think about like a treasure trove of like knowledge that you have, you can unlock. Like different parts of your brain. And we want to inspire students. And my partners in Veritas Academy, a lot of them are graduates from top-tier universities. So we want to blend that university experience with education opportunities and language and also employment opportunities and inspire our students by infusing that into our curriculum.
Brilliant. Now, you've assembled a team which comprises, as you mentioned, graduates from the world's top 50 universities. And many have returned home after overseas education to help Malaysian students. How did you manage to get this team to join that bandwagon? Were they of the same mindset as you guys?
Yeah, I think education in general is a very noble cause. And a lot of us strongly believe in it, given that we have seen firsthand by being overseas what good education previously brought us there. Mm. A lot of us have gotten this chance to study in a top university because we had the opportunity for a good education previously. Mm-hmm. And we want to do something back to help the other people who may or may not have the opportunity right now. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that joining an early stage startup is also an exciting opportunity for young, ambitious, talented people. as a chance to really build something that they believe in from scratch. And
they become part of the ownership of it, right?
Yeah. Right. And I guess having smart people, birds with the same feather flock together, then you kind of attract more and more people who may have the same skill, have similar skill sets, or have different complementary skill sets come together, but all from really great universities.
Let's talk a little bit about the strategies then. You know, and what are the challenges, do you think, of a one-size-fits-all strategy?
So if you look at the learning cycle, right, you start with in a class. So that's called the instruction phase. If you have all of your students squeezing into the same class purely based on their age and not their proficiency level, because of the practical constraints, the teacher can only use that one method to teach the entire class.
Yeah.
But learning doesn't stop there. After the instruction, after you learn something, you have to practice, you have to evaluate, and then you have to receive feedback. And tutors, they also have to intervene. So if you have the same instruction, you get the same practices, you get the same feedback, because it's just impossible to give feedback to every single student. I can't identify all the strengths and weaknesses for all my students because I'm just a person, I'm human.
Yeah.
And then when you have that, intervention is basically non-existent. How can I intervene for every single student? So you imagine, let's say I give a writing practice to my entire class. I have students scoring like A's, I have students like failing, and it could be for a variety of reasons. And because of the one-size-fits-all approach, if I don't intervene, because life has to go on, then I'll just move on to teach the next thing, which is very unfortunate for the students because they are stuck in this vicious cycle.
And somebody gets left behind.
Yeah, and once they are left behind, they're forever left behind.
Yeah, yeah. And playing catch-up, and that becomes an issue for both the student and the teacher.
Yes.
and society in general as
yeah,
a whole.
Yeah, precisely.
Moving, okay. Now, is there a stigma, do you think, when you're not age appropriate to your English language skills?
So I wouldn't use the word stigma. It's got a strong word.
Yes.
Maybe it's just like very awkward for students. If let's say we put them in a class based on their proficiency level, you may have someone who is a lot older, and it can be awkward to be in a class with a lot of younger students. You may not have the courage to ask questions because you don't want to look dumb.
Right.
But I think that is something that is partially removed when you are online. Because you're online, you don't really care about what the other students are doing or what they think about you. You care about what your tutors think about you, is actually happening during the lesson. So I think that part, that awkwardness is removed because now we have transitioned to online learning.
Mm-hmm. So how does it work then? I mean, do you download an app or do you just go online? I mean, you mentioned you don't care because you're online. Is that how it works then?
So we do have a mobile app. We also have a web app. So how it works is that students, they access our classes using our app. And then after that, they start the lesson in the lesson is 1.5 hours. So we break English down into a lot of sub-skills. So for each lesson, we teach one sub-skill. But they do assignments. They complete assignments, practices, all on our app, on our platform. And that helps us to gather a lot of data. The idea is to turn the data into actionable insights, and then we can intervene either synchronously in class or after class asynchronously so that we can make sure they can catch up.
So at 80 ringgit a month, when do you expect yourselves to be profitable?
So we are already profitable.
Oh, wow.
On a unit economics basis. Because it's 80 ringgit, it is quite affordable.
Yeah.
So we're not just targeting people who are who come from very privileged background, because it's 80 ringgit, anyone in middle class family, either in KL or in Sarawak, or someone even from a rural, living in a rural background, can also have access to our classes.
Brilliant. Okay, let's take a short break here on Open for Business. I'm in the studio with Kai Song and Vicky Tan from Guru Lab. They recently closed a $1 million seed funding to develop an English education platform. If you've got any questions for us, get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Music coming up now here, and we'll be right back here on BFM 89.9.
Building First World Malaysians. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
everybody, and welcome back to Open for Business. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with Erkai Song and Vicky Tan from Guru Lab. They recently closed a $1 million seed funding to develop an English education platform. We've been speaking about some of the challenges, why Kai Song came back from the UK when she was working over in London. I had a bit of a story from Vicky. Now, if you're only just joining us and you missed the first part of the show, don't forget the podcast will be up. Very shortly, you can download it wherever you normally get it from. We recommend the BFM app. That's available on the Apple App Store and, of course, Google Play. Now, I want to move along now, Kai Song. And can you just give me a kind of rough figure of how many students you have right now?
Sure. We have recently passed the 500 student mark and we are racing towards 1,000 soon.
That's not a rough figure. That's exactly correct. Okay. How do you feel about that? I mean, is that what you expected? Are those numbers kind of what you were expecting?
Yeah, I think that's really exciting given that we have just started our program since January. So we are just about 6 months in. The kind of traction that we have gotten and the feedback and feedback from our parents and students on how the tutors have already helped them improve, whether it's in one skill set or in different skill sets, have really helped me get going on the tough day that we are really helping these students learn English a lot better than what they could have gotten.
Now, just outside, and obviously before you came into the studio, and I've just spoken about it here, The $1 million seed funding, $4.3 million ringgit or thereabouts, to help develop your platform with this cutting-edge learning analytics to address the shortcomings of the one-size-fits-all thing that we've just spoken about. How did you manage to convince this particular investor? Because surely they expect some kind of ROI.
Yeah, so we are invested by Maxis, Malaysia's favorite telco brand. So we were the first investment that they made. So the process was a bit more challenging given that it was also the first time for them to do this. But we are very aligned with Maxis in terms of their vision in education as well. They have been previously been involved in some other non-profit initiatives such as Maxis eClass. And they were looking for something that may be able to further enhance English language learning in Malaysia. So when we spoke to them, the results were very positive in terms of the mission that we are driving. And I think right now we are putting in a lot of time and effort into really developing the technology. And developing technology is no easy feat. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money. But with what we have in my plans, we hope to make personalization of English language education at scale in the future. So it's no longer about a one-to-one tutor model, which is not very scalable because you don't have so many teachers, and also very not cost effective given that you have to buy up someone's time. With the technology that we are building, once we get that sorted, once we get that very very effective in doing what it's meant to do, we will be able to then scale it up to all the students without a lot of other costs involved. And I think that is where the ROI will come in the future with that learning analytics built.
Let's talk a little bit about the analytics then. What kind of learning analytics are we talking about, and how are you incorporating things like big data and machine learning into what you're doing?
Sure. So if you think about a tutor, a one-to-one tutor, that's what currently personalization looks like.
Yeah.
We are trying to break that tutor's brain down into something that is scalable so that you don't have to have so many tutors to serve all the students. And how we do that is that for every interaction that a student has with our platform during the class itself, if you're a human, you probably cannot track down every single thing that the student does. Because there's 20 people, you are human, you have limited brain capacity. But a machine can do that. So every interaction, whether it's a response you give in a class live quiz, it could be an essay that you have submitted as part of an assignment, it could be some MCQ questions that you have answered after class asynchronously. All these are the data that we collect so we can evaluate a student's level effectively. We know that we have broken English down into the different sub-skills, as what Vicky has mentioned previously. So we know exactly that you are weak in this specific topic, this specific grammar skill set, this specific vocabulary theme, so that we can then move into the next phase, which is the intervention. We have a content bank which comprises of questions, materials, and also from the human side, the tutor's intervention in class that can be prescribed to a student based on the evaluation results. So, for example, if you realize that you are very weak in a certain topic in grammar, if the whole class is weak in it, in the next class, the tutor might spend the first 20 minutes re-explaining the concept to the students. But if there's only three students in the class who are struggling with that topic, you probably don't want to take up the time of the entire class. Mm-hmm. And in a one-size-fits-all setting, that three students usually just get forgotten.
And they'll be twiddling their thumbs.
What is happening right now? And how we solve that is we use our content and material bank without any much additional effort from the teachers to recommend the right asynchronous materials for those students who may be left behind to catch up. So you may get additional flashcards, concept map to study over your free time before the next class, so that hopefully you'll be on par with other students once the teacher commences with the next lesson. And the whole cycle continues, like everything that you do next will then again be evaluated. It goes into this one vicious cycle, a positive vicious cycle, that will eventually drive learning outcomes.
Great. It sounds fantastic. I really love the idea of this. Now, how big is your team, Vicky?
Right now, we have a team of 20. Okay. We also have freelancers and consultants. But out of those 20, a majority of them are engineers, software engineers. We also have a team of educators who are building the curriculum, the methodology, and a team of like sales and marketing, like the usual stuff, in order to set up a company.
I've just got a couple of final questions for you before we wrap up for today. When you were thinking about developing this platform, how much was invested in developing them? And I'm not just talking about money, because money is another issue. How much thought went into, we need to do this, we need to do that? And were there any kind of conflicts between the two of you when you were kind of helping to develop this idea and develop this platform?
I think both of us come with very complementary skill sets. So I'm an engineer by training, so yeah. I understand the tech side of things. And Vicky, as an educator herself, brings a perspective of a teacher. And because Guru Lab is a marriage between tech and education, we usually come in with our two different perspectives and try to come to a common ground that can work for mm-hmm. both sides. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any major conflict that I can think of recently. Hopefully that will continue on.
I think for me, in terms of investing, like not just the financial side, I think would be the it's an intellectual exercise for us as well.
Yeah.
For me as an educator, English curriculum is quite established. We have like different like syllabuses like out there. But for us, we can't just like put whatever that is out there and then merge it with our technology and then pray to God that it will work.
You can't just copy paste it it to work. Yeah.
So basically have to build like quite a few things from scratch. But there's a lot of like existing like libraries out there that can help us to accelerate the process. But I'll give you one example. Mm. So let's say I teach grammar. I teach like subject verb agreement. Like, if you know what it means. Just means that whether I am, you are. So for our platform, we need to figure out, let's say if I give you an exam, subject verb agreement, all of you get like 8 out of 10. But you may get 8 out of 10 for different reasons. For you, it may be you know that Lily and Jane, okay, plural subject, that's what Lily and Jane are. But bed and breakfast, it sounds like a plural subject, but actually it's singular. So for us, the challenge is to differentiate those students so that we can give them targeted interventions. Because if we don't differentiate, I'm just going to give them the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got one final question for you then before I let you out of the studio. Are you planning to expand this overseas anywhere yet?
Not as of today. We want to first solidify our market presence in Malaysia. But we are focusing on only English education. And beyond Malaysia, we are looking into other Southeast Asian countries with large populations of second language English learners that we will be looking to expand into in the future.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time today then, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I've been speaking with Kai Song and Vicky Tan from Guru Lab. They recently closed a $1 million seed funding to develop an English education platform. Just before you go, where can people find out more information about this?
You can go to our website, www.mygurulab.com. You can also search for us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, we're there.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back a little bit later on. We have Matt Armitage coming up on Matt Splained at around about 11 o'clock. To take us to the top of the hour, we've got some music from Primal Scream. I'm Rich Bradbury on BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.